Oh, it has wheels. Oh, nice. Good morning. I guess we're set up now? Very good. I hope. So if you will you turn with me again to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading at verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're going to speak today about that which we're involved in every day of our life, and it has to do with our two natures, and as we go along, we'll explain them. I've said to you before, and I want to just repeat it, I never had a problem with sin before I was saved. It didn't bother me. I might have had a guilt conscience about a few things, but I didn't really understand what sin was. Didn't bother me. I did what came naturally. I don't ever remember shedding any tears over anything. I never had a conference with myself as to guilt before God. That was not part of my being. And as I said, I lived doing what was natural. However, about the age of 19, I became a Christian. Then, I had all kinds of problems. Sin bothered me. My conscience bothered me. I was in a constant state of confusion. I realized something had taken place in my body. Now, by birth, mother and dad, they contributed a great thing to society when I was born. And, of course, I was born, I got their nature. Their nature was like their parents before them and so on. It was a sinful nature. It was a nature that they had inherited from Adam, a fallen nature, a nature that did not want to contain God in its thoughts, a nature that was an enemy of God. And it was the only nature I had. But I mentioned to you, then I was saved. I was not just justified, pardoned. God had not only forgiven my sins, but he did something else. He made me a new man in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. I had implanted in me, that moment I trusted in Christ as Savior, a new nature, a new man. I became a new being. Now, I still had the same clothes on. I still had the same feelings. Still, as I've told you before, was that very handsome guy with a lot of hair. Actually, a miniature Cary Grant. That's what Ellen thought, anyway. So I'm glad about that. I had become a Christian, but I was still a thrall. Now, weight-wise, that came later, by the way, I had not any more weight. But God had placed in me a new man, and a change took place. I want to emphasize that new man that God put in me, that was not a psychological change. That was God placing in me a new nature. I don't know what happened to the bottom of this thing. It's got all other types of things on it, but you'll understand. God had placed within me a new spirit. He had placed within me a new soul, a new body, a physical body that I would inherit in the future. So I had a new nature. Now, as I mentioned before, I looked like the same guy, but I was not the same guy. I have a couple of questions to ask. How many of you folks have not reached heaven yet? How many? I'm sure that's all of us. The reason I ask that, and I've asked it before, is that I meet some Christians that are really out of this world. I don't know where they are. But we're in the world. We're part of the world. And we have to learn to be a witness in this world. How many of you still possess the nature you were born with? We all do, don't we? We all have that. That nature, the moment we believe, is not eradicated. It's been dealt with. We're told it died with Christ, but we still have it. Now, in the book of Ephesians, which we've often called the Alps of the New Testament, we're told by the Apostle Paul that we're to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. In order to put off the old nature, we have to have an old nature. And I already mentioned we still do. Now, there are three questions we want to consider in regards to these natures. We want to consider, what are they called? And we'll go through a quick Bible study here on what they are called. By the way, about these natures, they're at war with one another. What are they called? Wow. We're going to do a rapid Bible study now. So if you will you turn with me to the book? We're in the book of Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I have the wrong reference there. It's not Ephesians 2. The old man, I think that's Ephesians 5:12. I mean, Romans 5:12. But let's move on. It's also called the flesh. Galatians 5:17. Turn there, if you will. Galatians 5:17. Now the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now note, briefly going to read the characteristics of the flesh. Now these are the works of the flesh. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of that which I have told you in past time, that they do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we understanding? There's a name for that old nature in Galatians 5:17, which is called the flesh. And as I read these various things that are the manifestation of the flesh, that is a potential in every one of us. We have a nature that is composed of that. We'll get more into this as we go along. It's called the body of sin in Romans 6:6, not 66. Romans 6:6. It's called the wretched man in Romans 7:24. I've been enjoying the series on Romans that our brother Richards has been giving. It's been very good. Very doctrinal. He's speaking about in the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter about sanctification, which we're touching on today also. I appreciate it very much. But you will note in Romans 7:24 that Paul has been in a battle. He's been in a battle that has to do between the new nature and the old nature. And as we read here, Romans chapter 7, I don't know how I got these, I got the right reference. In verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. O wretched man that I am. Paul has spoken about a conflict taking place within him between the old and the new. And here he finds himself at an utter loss. He's been losing the battle. What is he going to do? How is he going to be victorious? And then he cries out, I thank God it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on the principle of faith. Now, I've been in verse 24 many times in my life. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a good many years. But I'm in a battle. And so are you. And in this battle, we're going to find that we have not only an old nature, which is corrupt, which I'll speak about in just a moment, but we have an old nature that is fueled by Satan, and it's very powerful. And unless we are diligent in what God tells us to do in our lives, we're going to be defeated. Satan's going to win the battle. We don't want that. We want God to be victorious in our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know what it's like to experience victory in and through the blessed Lord. And then we're told that we have an Adamic nature. Romans 5:12. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so all have sinned. Therefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Wow. Ellen, can you help me out? For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Isn't that something? I know that word. I use it all the time in witnessing. What? Say that again, dear. So death passed to all men, for all have sinned. The root meaning in the Adamic nature is a nature that we are born with, that we have inherited from Adam. It is a nature that is fallen. And we've been speaking a little bit about that. Now in regard to the new man, we've already read in Ephesians 4:22 and 23 that we have a new nature. We have a new man. And as I said before, this new man that we have within us is in conflict with the old man. And there's a warfare. So then, in regards to this new man, we also have, as we quoted already, we have a new creation. We're a new creation in Christ. Galatians 5:17, we are called there, that new nature, the Holy Spirit. In Romans 13:14, it is referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1:14, it is called a divine nature. Wow. You know, as we read these five things, we are really special, wonderful people. God has given us a lot. However, we want to talk about what they're like. Okay. What are they like? Book of Ephesians 4:22. We read, corrupt. Corrupt. As a young man, I was given the opportunity of going with one of the men from the seminary to minister to some churches in West Texas, in various small communities. This community was Center, Texas. We went there, and as we're talking to the farmer, the rancher, he said to me, "You like watermelon?" I said, "Of course." He said, "My fields are filled with them. We've had an overproduction of watermelons, and we just can't sell them. They're just going to rot in the field." He said, "Just go out in the field, break them open, eat the heart out of it, and just go on." Wow. I said, "That's what I'm going to do." So I went out and began to break them open. They're amazingly cool, and I was really enjoying it. Then I came to one, and I broke it open, and it was rotten. And the smell almost knocked me over. Well, that word corrupt is the same as the word rotten. And we have an old nature that is rotten Godward. It may get along in society. That nature may be able to dwell with others in harmony, but Godward, that nature is corrupt. It is rotten. It is selfish. It has filthy thoughts, slave to habits, smoking, drinking, eating, over sex, so many things. Do you believe that in you is something corrupt? We cannot improve corruption. I trust you understand that. The best thing to do with corruption is to bury it. Potentially, we are just as capable of doing anything or any sin as we were before we were saved. We still have tempers. How we justify that, you know? I have a sanctified temper. I'm boiling mad, but that's righteous indignation. I'm very nervous, angry, and so on. But that's spiritually accepted. So one of the chief characteristics of this corrupt nature is that it's deceptive. It's a very, very bad picture. It shows us what we really are. A lady in England went to have her portrait painted. In the process, she said to the artist, "Please do me justice." And he said, "It's not justice you need, but mercy." And you know, that's what we need. We have this corrupt nature, and that's what we need. The new nature, it's been created after God. As the old nature is rotten without any hope of changing, we have also a new nature that is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. What a fix. What a fix. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Paul says, put it off, the old nature, put on the new nature. Paul is using an illustration of clothing. And he is saying, by the way, our clothing, it kind of reflects who we are. It shows our personality. It shows our thoughts. And Paul is saying, put off the old man. He's going to tell us how to do it. Put it off. Take off the coat or the wrap. No longer show forth the deeds of the flesh. And then he says, put on new nature. He says, now, as a believer, show people that you're a believer. Put on the new clothing. Put it on. Let it be manifest. And he's going to tell us how this is going to be done. And here's the key. Verse 23. Romans 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the corrupt, put on the new. But the secret is, and the key is, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewal that we're speaking about, or this transformation that Paul is speaking about, he goes into great detail in the book of Ephesians. As a young man, I was very concerned about being victorious over sin that was within me. And I would go to Christian bookstores, and rack after rack would have booklets and pamphlets telling me what I had to do to become victorious. Sometimes there was a list of 10 things, sometimes a list of 20 things. But there are many things that writers were trying to express how that I might be victorious over sin. I read them, I tried them, and I was a failure. I was a failure. They didn't work. Wow. Christian men have come up with some great ideas, great theories, but they didn't work. Wow. Our brother Richard has very well covered Romans chapter 6. But Romans chapter 6 is teaching us in regards to this renewal, this concept of transformation, which is done by the Spirit of God in our lives, is done by faith. By faith. What? Yes, by faith. Just as we are born again by faith, we believe the gospel that Christ died for us, bore our sins, the Lord who died was buried and rose again, and we received God's gift of eternal life. Paul teaches us that our sanctification is also by faith. Paul says, in regards to this renewal, Paul says, believe, know this, that you have died with Christ, that you have been buried, and that you have risen in a newness of life, a reality, a spiritual truth. And it is this spiritual truth, as we heard these words just a few weeks ago, as we know them, we then reckon them to be true. I have died with Christ. I have been buried. I am risen in the newness of life. As I believe that, bring it into my life, reckon it to be true, accept what God has to say, then I am to yield to the Lord. By faith, I believe I have died with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I have died with Christ. The old nature can be disannulled, put into an inoperative state. I have been died with Christ. I'm to believe that. The nature that I was born with has been crucified with Christ. I am to believe that by faith, that as Christ was raised from the dead, so am I. And if by faith I know that, I then am to yield myself to God. Now, the yielding to God in our lives is something we don't hear about very often. We very seldom hear in regards to Romans 12:1 that we present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, a commitment, a surrender, my will to God's will, yielding ourselves to God. And I thank God that in Bible camps, Christian camps around the world, the very thing that we're talking about here is being addressed to young adults. The concept of a yielded life. The concept of committing one's life to the Lord. And the exhortation in the scriptures is this becomes a ministry that we must get involved in. We must do this. We must, as individuals, submit ourselves to God. We must, as individuals, if we're going to have a happy life, live a victorious life, we must surrender our will to God's will. We must bow before Him, and we must say, Lord, whatever you want, I want to do it. Whatever you have planned for me, I want that plan to become a reality. Whatever it is in my future, I want to set aside my ideas, my goals, my ambitions. Lord, I want your will for my life. And just surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's yielding to God. I trust you have done that. We have seen over and over again young people, young adults, young married couples, and then into the middle age, we have seen individuals finally come to grips with God and say, I'm not yielded to God. I've been born again. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life, but God's not in control of me. And just bow before the Lord and give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I could just mention a few, which I will. We had a young lady, a teenager of about 17. She's a very delightful young person. Just really a fine Christian girl. And that year at camp, we had a speaker from New Tribes come. And he spoke about the very things we're talking about. But he was emphasizing missions. And the Spirit of God was speaking to this young lady. And there at camp, she just collapsed before the Lord. She just said, Lord, whatever you want. And as the missionary, or the speaker from New Tribes, was speaking about missions, she said, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary. And by the grace of God, in a life that was committed to Christ, she indeed then went on, went to school, married, and then continues to prepare for the mission field. Not all of us are going to be missionaries, but I trust that we're all mature men and women. I trust that as men and women, we know what it is to have that renewal of mind, that transformation, whereby God controls in our life. Is this happening in the world today among Christians? Are we doing that? If we look at Christian marriages, we'd have to say no. Because of the multitude of Christian marriages that are collapsing. That has to do with the fact that in those marriages, there are men and women who have never really surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that we have committed our lives to the Lord. That we as married couples honor the Lord. Ellen and I have had to experience as parents the difficulty of divorce in the life of our children. Why? Why? Because those involved have not had victory over the flesh, the old man. They haven't allowed God to rule in their lives. And whatever the problem was, they didn't allow God to take care of it early. And they didn't commit to the Lord. My brother Bill in Phoenix is involved in teaching seminars on marriage. As he's teaching these seminars, he would say to me, "Al, I'm finding out in our ministries, we are not preparing people for life. We're not preparing people in regards to commitment to the Lord. People with surrendered lives." And he says, "I'm seeing the results of that all over America." Well, I trust as we're speaking here today that we as believers realize we have an old nature that's corrupt. And that we, by faith, will be able to have the renewal of mind, allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives, that we might be able to put on the new nature and allow the characteristics of the new nature to be seen in us and through us, and through us. Sometimes my heart has been broken as I have viewed the lives of many who I thought were going to accomplish for God. I've told you of my young friend in Kenosha who always had a battle, who was not victorious. But he would try. We'd have studies together. We'd read the Word of God together. We would pray together. We would minister together. And then one day he said to me, "I'd like to go to Bible school." I said, "Dear brother, in order to do that, it would be good if you were really surrendered to the Lord, which you're not." He said, "I will be. I want to go." You've heard me talk about this brother before. I said, "All right. I know the president and others from the Briarcrest Bible Institute in Canada. I'll write them. I did. And I told them, very honestly, he's going to be the worst student you ever had. They wrote back and said, that was really funny. And I thought, you'll find out. So he went to Bible college. About 4 months into the school, I got a letter. And the letter said, Al, you're right. He's the worst student we ever had. He was dismissed. About 2 years later, he said, I'm ready to go. And I said, I don't think so. I'm ready. So I wrote to the president of the Dallas Bible College, Dr. Massinger. And I told him what happened at Briarcrest. And I'd been praying that through all of this, he would get his life right with God. He went, same thing. 4 months, dismissed. The reason I'm telling you this is that maybe the Spirit of God is working in our minds and hearts today, and we realize we have an old nature in us that is contrary to God. An old nature in us that's corrupt and wants to keep us from enjoying the happiness that God has for us. And that maybe we have to make some decisions. He went to a third school, left the school. He went back, and then something happened. All of a sudden, it clicked in his mind. He realized that as a believer, by faith, he was to believe what God said. As we've been speaking about this renewal. And he got right with the Lord. He got right with the Lord. I do not plan to investigate your lives this morning. But what I am attempting to do is to cry out to each one of us as believers. We have an old nature that wants to destroy our lives and our witness and our testimony for the Lord. We have a new nature that is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor the Lord, to honor the Lord. Knowing that, Paul says, be renewed in your mind. Be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. That not only means by the Spirit of God, but by the Spirit within us. Be renewed. Be transformed. Commit yourself to God. Commit yourself to God. Allow God to rule in your life. I trust we're all doing that. I trust that we have bowed in submission to the Lord. We don't grow into this. We do not develop into it. Truth, as it is proclaimed, builds in our heart. That is truth. But there comes a time in our lives, for many of us, when we must make decisions. We're all aware of making decisions for Christ to be saved. Decisions to bow before the Lord as a sinner and cry out for salvation, thanking God that He sent His Son to die for us. And the Lord who died for us was buried, and He rose again, and He's giving salvation as a gift to all who will believe, to all that will bow before Him. Dear fellow believer, God is doing the same thing in regards to sanctification in our lives, victory in our lives. He is asking us to know the facts, to yield to Him, and then obey. To obey the Lord, to do what God tells us to do, to be ready and willing to do what God says. Now, there's a few things here. Let me just read them for the purpose of illustration. He says this: "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbors. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let him that stole steal no more, but labor with his hands. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers." Wow. As you put on the new man, these things are to be gone. Not as an outward show, but as a reality. We are allowing the Spirit of God, using the Word of God, to help us yield and obey the Lord. I don't know what your experience is, but I trust that if there is a battle taking place, that we're losing it. That we're going to be intelligent enough to bow before the Lord and to say, "Lord, break me. Lord, teach me. Bring me to the place where I, by faith, will believe the reality that we've been speaking about this morning, that I might have a victorious life, one that's yielded to you, that I might enjoy your happiness." May God be speaking to us. May we rejoice in all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust God is speaking to your heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you love us, and that we who were enemies, aliens from the very God that saved us, that in spite of our sin, you have redeemed us. We thank you that we know that our redemption has taken place by blood, which speaks to us, Father, of one having died. We thank you that one who died is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, saved us. Father, we also know that in our everyday life, there's a conflict between that which you call the old man, the flesh, and that which is called the new man, the new nature, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you'll so work within us that we will experience this renewing, this transformation, as we by faith believe what you've had to say. We pray for each one here today, whether they be singled or married, widowed, that you work in our hearts, and that we might indeed honor you by lives that are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Satan is attacking our marriages. We know that. And we know you have told us that unless we deal with the issue of the old man, unless we allow the spirit of the new man to live through us, we're in trouble. And so we pray for all of our marriages that they might be strong. Bless, we pray, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us. May we thank you for your goodness. As we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, amen.